listening to an East Point Church podcast. East Point Church gathers to make much of Jesus Christ by knowing Him and making Him known. For more information on East Point Church, please visit our website at epcmwc.org.
Your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. It's good to see everyone this morning. Hebrews chapter 1. I do believe in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe in His word, His truth. I believe in the gospel. I believe that the gospel changes lives. And I believe that if you will trust Him, if you will open your hearts, if you will say, "Lord, speak to me this morning," that He will, because I believe the gospel will never return void, that the gospel convicts our hearts. I believe the gospel encourages our hearts. It reveals who Jesus is, reveals our loving God, our just God. And so I'm excited as we open up God's word, as we look and experience and see what He wants to speak to us about this morning. And I'm excited as we have started this new book, the book of Hebrews. It's an amazing, amazing book that we get to see that Jesus is better. Jesus truly is better. And you might have come into this place this morning thinking, you know what? Jesus is okay, but there's a lot of other stuff that's pretty fun. There's a lot of other things that I'm really passionate about. There's a lot of the hobbies that I'm really into, and I love my job, and I love this. You're going to see clearly that Jesus is better. It's better than all of that. And all that stuff that we put our time in that's outside of Christ, that's outside of Jesus, eventually becomes boring, eventually fails, eventually leads us to destruction. Jesus is better. One theologian says that this amazing book presents the greatness of Christ as no other New Testament writing does. A book in Scripture that if we open our hearts to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it will make us grow. It will force us to grow and see a bigger and bigger Christ in our lives. Last week, we saw kind of the history that we see surrounding this book is that it is most likely a small, struggling, and persecuted church that were searching. They were searching for answers. They were asking the question, "Where are you, God? Where are you? And why are you silent? Why are we going through this struggle?" And then this letter comes to them. This letter comes to this church. And in the first two encouraging verses to this church, it says to them, "Long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son." So right from the get-go, as this church is listening to this letter, as this church is struggling to say, should we follow Christ? Do we believe in Christ? Do we proclaim the name of Jesus? Do we risk being thrown into prison or risk being killed or risk being martyred? What do we do? God, where are you? And the Bible, Scripture, clearly this verse reminds them right off the bat that God is not silent. God has always desired to speak and to communicate to His children. And in the past, He spoke in many times, whether that was through creation, whether that was through miracles. He spoke in miraculous ways. He then used the prophets to speak to His people. But everything culminated in the ultimate form of God's communication, which is in Jesus Christ, His Son. And He was reminding them that Jesus Christ, He is the one that speaks today. In these last days, today, God speaks through Jesus. And so we're reminded, we're encouraged, and I hope you are this morning, that God desires to communicate to you. He desires to speak to you. We don't have to go search for God's voice in the clouds. Okay, you don't have to go stand outside and look up and hope that God speaks to you. We don't have to look for Him in the lightning, although we see Him in creation, yes. We don't have to go wander up to a statue of Mary or Jesus or one of the disciples and hope that God speaks to us. We don't have to make a trek to some prayer wall. We have God's word right here. And God speaks to us if we will open up his truth and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and listen to his voice and listen to his word. You have the Holy Spirit if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. If you're a believer, you have Christ's commands. In fact, Christ himself simply says, believer, Christ follower, if you love me, keep my commands. And if you'll keep my commands, you will understand that I love you and that my ways are better than the world's. Jesus is better. He says this, if you want to hear my voice, then read and follow my commands. If you want to be, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, if you want to be in the center of God's plan, if you wake up and say, God, I just want to be in your will. I just want to be in the center of your plan. Then he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understandings. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. God speaks to us. He speaks to us through his son, Jesus. He speaks to us through his word. And we see very clearly in his word, as Christ stated in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Christ is better. Jesus is better. Jesus is the only way to salvation. He became the ultimate sacrifice to provide the only way to the Father so that we could be called children of God. And I hope that we really begin to grasp onto this. That if we're a believer in Jesus Christ, if we've responded to the gospel, we've put our trust in him and know and understand and believe that he is the only way. We are his children. He loves us. He desires to speak to us. Christ is better. My question to all of us this morning is this: do you believe this? Do you know this? This is not some religion or religious activity. This is a relationship with the God of the universe. This is a relationship through Jesus Christ, the creator of all things. And we're going to see that this morning, which is so incredible. My question is this: do you trust Jesus with your life? And here's my promise to you. Not my promise, but it's God's word, but I believe in this promise. Trust him with your life, and he will prove himself to you. He will prove it to you. There was a commercial once that depicted this young girl standing in a picturesque meadow, and in another part of the field was this gigantic African rhinoceros, which begins charging towards the girl. But her serene and happy face remains unmoved. And as the rhinoceros gets closer, the words appear on the screen. It says, "Trust is not being afraid." A split second before the rhino tramples the helpless girl, it stops. And the girl smiles. It's never wavering, reaches up and pets the animal on its massive horn. And the final words then appear, even when you are vulnerable. Trust is not being afraid, even when you are vulnerable. And the commercial was designed to tout the abilities of this insurance company to protect its clients from the uncertainties of life. But we see it, how much more do we see it, as it describes the believer who can say, with the psalmist, we are able to say, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Jesus is better. Do you trust him with your life? Do you trust Jesus with your life? And you've walked in here with all these burdens and all these worries and all this stuff that's going on. You've got things over here with your family. You've got stuff with your work. You've got stuff with your kids. You've got stuff with school. You've got stuff with your neighbors and with your extended family and all these things that are happening. And whether it's financial, whether it's health, all these things, all these burdens. My question to you is this: do you trust Jesus with your life? Who says, cast all your worries on me. Pray without ceasing. pray and hand over your burdens and your anxieties to me. I love you. If you're a believer in me, you are my child. Why do we trust in Jesus? If we truly trust in Jesus, why do we look to the world for answers when we know that Christ is supreme? And so you think about this young church who's being persecuted, saying, God, where are you? Why are you silent? Do you know what's happening with us? And the writer of this letter is simply saying, guys, God loves you. God has always spoken. He has spoken in the past. He speaks now through his Son. Understand and remember that Jesus is better. Christ is supreme. And so over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be in about a verse and a half. You're like, oh my goodness, how in the world? Because there's so much right here in these two verses. Why do we look to the world for answers when we know clearly that Christ is supreme? And so what we're going to see in verse 2b and verse 3 is that we're going to see his supremacy. We're going to see clearly that Christ is supreme. We're going to see him as the inheritor, the creator, the sustainer, the radiance, the impression, the purification, and the ruler. And all that is said right there in these two verses. And all I can say is, wow. Wow. Christ is supreme. We say Christ is supreme, and then we walk out and we start trying to do everything on our own. Or we walk out and we look to the world, to literally Satan, to devil for answers and to do things the way the world does. Christ is better. Jesus is better. And we see clearly in Scripture that he is supreme. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we love you. We stand here amazed in what you did for us, that you loved us so much, that you died on a cross for us. And you say clearly that you are the way. You are the only way to salvation. It only comes through you. So we thank you that you provided a way, that you loved us so much. We believe that you are supreme, that you are better. Help us to believe that. Help us to see that clearly. Help us to see from your word, your truth, that you speak through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to see and understand and believe that you are truly better, that you are supreme. And all we can say is, wow, that is awesome. We don't have words to express our love for you. But thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Help us to see clearly more of who you are. Help us to see clearly that you are truly supreme. We love you, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as we meditate, as we worship and think about Christ's supremacy, what we see first is that he is the inheritor. So let's look at the second half of verse 2. And let me go ahead and read verse 2b and 3. It says, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So as we think about Christ's supremacy, let's first look at that he is the inheritor. Christ, the inheritor, whom he appointed the heir of all things. So let's just kind of stop there and think about this as we think about how Christ is supreme. The writer of Hebrews just spoke in the previous verse that Christ of Christ, God's Son, and it makes sense that he would then talk about Christ being the inheritor. Christ is the heir of all things. What does that mean, that Christ is the heir of all things? Christ is the heir to the earth, H-E-I-R, the heir to the earth and all of its peoples. He's also the heir to the universe and to the world to come, because Christ is creator and redeemer. We see this in Scripture. Listen to some of these verses. Let God's word prove it himself to you. Colossians 1:16b says this: all things were created through him and for him. Okay? We're talking about Jesus here. He's the inheritor of all things. All things were created through him and for him. Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and to him all are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. He is the inheritor of all things. Everything in the universe is for him and to him. Okay? Christ is supreme. Jesus is better. Everything in the universe, everything in the world to come is for him and to him. Christ is supreme. And so we come and we gather, we worship him and his supremacy. But here's what we got to grasp, okay? This is what we've got to see. Something that's so incredible, and it has to do with us. If we respond to the gospel, the truth of God's word, if we respond to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, if we respond to that he is the only way, that he came and he died for us, if we respond to the gospel, if we become children of God, if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if we have Christ in us, because of what he did for us on the cross, we are his inheritance. Okay, do you see how huge that is? Christ is the inheritor of all things. Everything, the world, all the people, the universe, the world to come. And if we are in Christ, if he is our Savior, we are his inheritance. This is huge. This is mind-boggling. We should not let that slide away and go, yeah, we're his inheritance. No, this is big. Christ, the inheritor of all things, the inheritor of the universe, the world to come, he died for us. Christ loves us. He loves you. We are valued. Do you see that? You don't have to sit there and go, man, I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. We don't have to deal with the depression that this world and sin puts on us. If we are in Jesus Christ, we are valued, we are loved, we are his inheritance. And let me tell you someone that could never get over this, and that was Paul. Do you remember Paul's life? Mr. Religious, Mr. Pharisee. He was on a road to destruction. He was on a road to death. And Christ met him face to face on the road to Damascus and changed his life forever. And from that day on, he could never, ever, ever get over what Christ did for him. He would probably be saddened by the way we worship sometimes. He'd probably be saddened by how lackadaisical we are to Christianity and our belief. He'd probably be saddened by the way we throw our Bibles down and then we never pick them up again. He'd be saddened by how we are so oblivious to a lost world and how we walk past them, that we have neighbors that need to hear the gospel. He would be saddened by the way that we come into this place and we're like, whatever, I'm just supposed to go to church, it's the thing to do. He would be saddened because he could never get over what Christ did for him. And he was constantly telling the churches, he was constantly writing to the churches saying, please open your eyes, grasp on to what you have in Jesus Christ. Listen to what he told the Ephesians. In chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, he says this: that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? We are his inheritance. And Paul is saying, please, please grasp on to what you have in Christ, which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? Grasp onto that. This is massive. This is incredible. This is amazing. Christ loves you. Christ loves you. And if you are in Jesus Christ, you are his inheritance. So why do we, as believers, walk around with fear and worry and doubt and anxiety when we are Christ's inheritance. Isn't that amazing? Anyone, somebody say amen to that. Thank you. Thank you. Here's the reason, though. Why do you? Why do we? Why do I? Why do I have fear? Why do I have anxiety? Why do I walk around with doubt? Why do I hold on to things? And the reason is this: we have not embraced what we have in Christ. We saw that in the book of 1 Timothy, didn't we? He said, grasp onto it. Take hold of what you have in Christ now and in the future. And the word that he used was not like, hey, kind of just hold on to. He said, grasp violently. And Paul is saying, please open your eyes. See what you have in Jesus Christ. Some of us don't do that because we have not embraced what we have in Christ. Here's another reason. Some of us have not embraced that. Some of us walk around with depression and worry and guilt and all these things because there is sin in our life that we have not repented of. Let's just be real here. Sin causes us to walk around in guilt and in shame and in fear and in worry. And as believers, we can still fall back into our old ways, and we can be part and be attached to habitual sin or whatever sin, and that unrepented sin, we carry that guilt and shame. And that's why some of us are walking around not being able to embrace who we are in Jesus Christ. So my encouragement to you this morning is this: repent. Repent today. Repent of your sin. You know what that is. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, here's what's so awesome. We have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit convicts us, right? He convicts us. So you know what that sin is. You know what that struggle with your old nature is. You know it if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. So my encouragement, what we see in Scripture is this: repent. Repent today so that you can take hold and embrace your inheritance in Jesus Christ. You can embrace what you have in Christ Jesus. Some of us in this room are just completely lost. We have no relationship with Jesus. We have not responded to the gospel. And if you're on that road, that road only leads to death. It leads to death. It leads to destruction. It leads to, if you were to die today, you would not spend eternity with Jesus Christ. You would spend eternity in hell, separated from Jesus Christ. That road leads to death. The wages of sin is death. Will you respond to the gospel this morning? Will you respond to the transforming power of Christ? Jesus is the inheritor of all things. And if you are in Jesus Christ, we are his inheritance. Jesus is better. Lord, make our heart believe. Christ is supreme. Christ loves you. The second thing that we see. First, he is the inheritor. The second thing that we see that reveals and speaks truth to us about Christ's supremacy is this: Christ, the creator. He is the creator. Look at verse 2 again. Through whom also he created the world. Not only is Christ the inheritor of all things, he is the creator of all things. He created the world, which really is translated ages, which is anything that exists anywhere, okay? Not just planet Earth. Everything. Anything that exists anywhere. John 1:3, all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Do you think that kind of sums it up? All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. 1 Corinthians 8:6, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Christ created every atom, every electron, every neutron. He created everything. You think the writer of Hebrews is trying to tell us something? Christ is supreme. He inherits everything. and he created everything. Jesus is better. So why do we say, oh, there's Jesus, and we go this way? Why do we do that? Because what we just talked about, sin. Because we get our eyes off of Jesus, we get our focus off of Christ, we get distracted, or we have not embraced Christ's supremacy in our lives. Why don't we trust him with our work? Why don't we trust him with our kids? Why don't we trust him with our marriages? Why don't we trust him with our doubts? Why don't we trust him with our finances or with our struggles or with our hardships or with our fear or with our sadness or our depression? Why don't we trust Christ's supremacy if we're believers in Jesus? An anonymous poem said this: trust him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust him when thy strength is small. Trust him when to simply trust him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust him, he is ever faithful. Trust him, for his will is best. Trust him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place of rest. Why can we trust him? Because Christ is supreme. Christ is the inheritor of all things. Christ is the creator of all things. Christ is sufficient for all things. Trust him with your life. The famous missionary Hudson Taylor, who spent 51 years in China, once said this. He says, were it not for the consciousness of Christ as my life, hour by hour, I could not go on. But he is teaching me the glorious lessons of his sufficiency, and each day I am carried onward with no feeling of strain or fear or collapse. I'm amazed by those that are called to the mission field and what they have to do. I mean, I know, Tony was there. He understands this. Your complete dependency on God in a foreign country, in a place where you've been called. We see this from Hudson Taylor. We too, as believers, can have this trust right here, wherever God has us. But how do we have that trust? How do we know that we can trust him? Because we see clearly that Jesus is better, that Christ is supreme. And one way we know that is because he inherits everything and he is the creator of everything. So you can imagine this small church, this group of persecuted believers, this group wondering if God was listening, if God was in control. They have already been reminded in two short verses that God is a God who speaks. He spoke in the past, and he still speaks today in his son Jesus Christ, but they're also being reminded that Christ is supreme, that he can be trusted. He is the inheritor of all things, and he is the creator of all things. And because of this, we too can trust him with our lives. Paul desperately wanted believers' eyes to be open to the riches and the understanding of the believer's glorious inheritance in Christ. Our encouragement this morning is this: Christ loves you. He loves all of you. He loves you. Christ loves you. You are important. You are valuable. So trust him with your life. Obey his commands. Trust that his ways are better. Trust that his commands, that if you will follow him, you will find peace and joy in your life. Listen to his voice in Scripture and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And maybe he seems silent because we need to turn from our sins. We need to repent of our sins. So repent. Stop waiting around. Repent. Come home. Just as the prodigal son came home and his father was there running after him, wrapping his arms around him. Repent of your sin because he loves you. To the non-believer, to the doubter, will you respond to the gospel this morning? There will be absolutely zero manipulation from anybody here. Okay? There's no manipulation because it's not us that saves you. It is only Jesus Christ who saves you. I'm not going to tell you some story about getting in your car and then pulling out and getting hit by a semi on Post Road. And where are you going to go today? That's manipulation, okay? The question is this: do you know Jesus? And if you don't, do you feel the call on your life? Because it is only Christ who saves. It is only Christ who saves. And you know it this morning. If you feel that calling, will you respond to the gospel this morning? Will you respond to the love of the Creator of all things? He knows you. He created you. His ways are best. Jesus is better. Lord, make our hearts believe. Let's pray this morning.